Well, I desire your prayers. I'd like to think a little tonight on the thought of lest we forget. And I believe, if I'm not mistaken, there was a book published with that title, maybe from Sister Margaret, I think, might have wrote that. I want to work with it a little bit tonight. Lest we forget, there is a passage of Scripture, I think, in 9th Psalm. And I'm not going to turn there, but the idea is something like this. Can a bride forget the day she gets married? I want y'all to think about this a little bit. You young girls in here, think about this, and you young guys. You think it would be possible, practical, for a bride? Maybe the day comes and the groom's standing, you know, the ceremony's getting ready to go, and you look around and no bride. Well, where's she at? Somebody gets on the phone. Maybe she's at home. Maybe she's just done the dishes, sat down with some popcorn, has her feet up, got her old dress on, maybe, and calls and said, "Do you remember what day this is?" "No, what?" "Oh, no. Is it really that day?" Now, do you think that is very practical? Suppose this, and this is more like what the Scripture was talking about. Could a bride forget her dress? Could a bride forget her dress? I'm asking a question for your minds to get a hold of. Could a bride forget her dress? So, picture the scene. You got a wedding going on. Da, 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 da. I mean, here we go. She walks in. The minister says, "We all rise." And everybody rises. And here comes this girl in. Maybe your father's got her. She's got an old denim jean on. Maybe just... And she comes walking down. And everybody's just just fine about it. And maybe some days later, they're looking at the picture and someone says, "You didn't have your dress?" I forgot that dress. Well, this is what the Lord was saying. Could a bride forget her dress on her wedding day? I don't know how really that would work, that she would forget something that monumentous, that much a part of it. How could you forget that? So if we was to think about that, did anybody just happen a while ago say, "I forgot to eat today"? I forgot to eat. I know some people. I kind of noticed a little bit. I've seen some people have their shoes kicked off. But did anybody forget to wear shoes tonight? Now, I know how tender my feet are. I wouldn't go very far before I would remember something's different here. Did you forget your shoes? This is what the Lord was saying. Is it possible for a bride to forget her adorning? Is it possible for a bride to forget her dress on her wedding day? But yet, the Lord said, "My people..." Put it in the same context. "My people have forgotten me." How is it possible that something so significant to our lives is forgotten? Is it possible, the Lord said, that I am so meaningful like you want to claim? That you could forget me? Live segments and sections of your life without me? Try to raise your family without me? Try to go through the day without me? Try to go through your events without me? Can a bride forget her dress? Could a person living for God forget that He's there? Forget that God is a part of us all? Is it possible to go through that? But yet we know, if we've lived very long, we know that it's possible to forget. I forgot a lot of things, but not so significant. There's a lot of things in memory that I forget. You can forget because that time has weathered it and beaten it to, and it's been too long ago to be fresh and new about it. I used to remember, after I got out of high school, I used to be able to tell you every class that I had and who the teacher was in order from my freshman year through my senior year. I could have told you all of it, and most everybody here probably could. I could tell you my locker combination. A few years after I got out of school, I can tell you that. I can't tell you any of that anymore because the time has just weathered it too much. It's too vague, too far gone. I haven't quoted it. I haven't kept it gone. I haven't kept it alive. It wasn't worth keeping alive because there was nothing valuable to it. So it slips away. It was significant at the time. I needed to know my locker combination. So I remembered it every day, every day, every day. I turned the right numbers. Every day I opened my locker. I knew what it was. Got the same locker the next year. Turned it up. Everything. It was ingrained in there. It stayed in there for a long time. Like I told you how to do it. I don't remember it now because it wasn't important to go on with that. So there are things that is just what some things that comes into our life is a fleeting passing thought that we don't absorb. And you may be able to say what somebody told you today and maybe tomorrow, and then you can't say it after that because it don't ingrain in our impression. But the Lord says this as a matter of wonderment. My people have forgotten me. How, if I'm as significant to their lives, and they call on me and keep me alive in their lives, how do you forget? And yet we know that it's possible to forget God. Well, I want to think about it a little bit because I don't want us to forget God. The Scripture says that the wicked shall be turned into hell, and all nations that forget God. Our nation is doing a great disservice to God in the sense that they have forgotten what God has done in the founding of our nation, in the blessing of our nation, in the keeping of our nation. We can do the same things on a personal scale to where we forget, has God helped anybody in here? Has He healed anybody? Has He blessed anybody? Has He made Himself real to you? Has He shown miracles to us? Has He blessed us in our service and visited us in our soul? And yet, if that isn't kept alive, that becomes a weathered event in my mind. I know we don't like to just go on repeating ourselves all the time. But there's nothing wrong with you rehearsing your salvation. As a matter of fact, the devil wants to attack it and make it not real to you. The best way to keep it alive is to testify about it. It can't just stay there, in my case, back in 1986. That can't be the last moment of it. But it is an important moment of it. That goes on and that I can build from that point and lay down something that's memorable. That I'm still remembering when I got under conviction. And the Lord dealt with me in a need. I had a need in my life. Young man. But I'd have had the world by the tail. Had my strength, had my health, the whole world in front of me, and was a miserable wretch. And God came to talk to me and dealt with me and brought me to His salvation. Thank you, Lord, for that salvation that you give me. I endeavor to live for the Lord. I want to live for the Lord. Scripture over in Deuteronomy 4. Oh, thief. Seven says, for what nation is there so great? Who hath God so nigh unto them as the Lord our God is in all things that we can call upon Him for? And what nation is there so great that has statutes and judgments so righteous as all this law which I set before you this day? Only take heed to yourselves and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, and lest thou depart from thy heart all the days of thy life, but teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons. Take heed to yourself that you don't lose the things that you've seen and that you've understood and you've seen of the Lord. Now, in the ancient day, they didn't have libraries full of books. They didn't go around chronicling everything. Only the highest of them, the kings and such, had people that chronicled the events of the king. But in the personal way, as it come down to those, it wasn't done that way. And so the Lord wanted to establish this way of connecting and not forgetting by an accurate account of those that saw it, those that experienced it, that seen it, that the account came down, and you taught it diligently to your son and to your son's son, and that he would carry it on down to the things that you have seen. So much, and I won't take time for all these scriptures, but there were scriptures like this. It was very, very important to God that His people remembered, and that what He done went down through the generations to build line upon line, precept upon precept, that their faith may be charged by God's event. But He wasn't going to do that again. He wanted that testimony to go down in a real way, given from a passion and a understanding and the fact that I remember that. I didn't tell you my locker's congregation because it's important to open it one more time. And they was to say it over and over, so much so that in one account, the children of Israel had came up after the wandering in the wilderness and the time that everybody over, 20 years old had passed, and this young generation comes to the banks of Jordan with the command that your time has come to go in the name of the Lord. Oh, and they come up to that. You remember the scene? The priests come carrying the Ark of the Covenant. They come with the promise of God. Here they come up, and as their feet steps into the water divides up. Must have been something fascinating. Real eyes and real humans saw that real event happen. And God performed a great miracle. They walk out there, and the Lord had commanded them, Joshua, when you get out there, get these stones, 12 stones, one for each tribe, and make a monument right in the middle of Jordan. Well, that's in the middle of Jordan. Who's going to see it? God knows what He's doing. There's a monument built in the middle of Jordan by these people. And He told them also to take 12 stones and pack them out, each one. 12 stones, and put them out where it's safe from the flooding of Jordan. And build a monument. And you know what it said? Why? It said, so when your sons and your sons' sons says, what meaneth this? Why the monument here? So that they could say, and without forgetting, without dimming their view, to know, I know, I was there. Those stones used to be in the bottom of Jordan. And they were packed out when the water stood on its edges. And it was put over here, but it was done by the mighty hand of God. And we carried those stones out, and we built a monument over here. Lest we forget the goodness of God and the greatness of God, and that our God, nothing is impossible. Over here it is. And so, through the generations, some little boy was going to come by that stone, and then he was going to say, Daddy, what means this? Why the stone pile? he could recount, "I didn't wasn't there, son. It was your great-grandpa. Those stones was there when my daddy was a boy, and he asked his daddy and said, 'What meaneth these stones? Son, we come across, our people come across this when God stood it on its edge. And we come by here by a miracle, and our God had made a promise to us, and this is a memorial forever that our God is true. Our God is great, and He works for us. And lest we forget, let us tell our testimonies. Lest we forget, let's have a testimony of our own life that can follow on down through in faithfulness. God is still God. His hand isn't shortened to the testimonies that we have heard." But the devil wants to take them away. I tell you what the devil wants to do. The devil wants to remove those stones out of there. Because he don't want anybody to ask, "Why do you do that? Why do you stand against the world? Why are you so willing to look so odd and so strange in the middle of a modern world? Why are you so willing to do..." He wants to move the landmark. He wants to move that monument that God wants to set up. And you know what? Lest we forget that there's a God that will deliver people from sin. There is a God that's able to keep us out of the sin business. There's a God that's able to heal the body. There's a God that's able to take care of the needs that we have in our life. He's a real living God. And that one, the testimony that the devil wants you and I to have, he wants us to have a religious testimony with nothing to it. Lest we forget, let us proclaim God. And He's still the same God. And He's still doing the same things. And He still works in the same ways. God is able to take you and I from this life to heaven if we allow Him to do it. He's able to be our conqueror. He's able to help us in all the places of our life. If you got a need tonight, there has been somebody with that need that God has delivered. There has been. There's a scripture that talks about the saints coming in judgment with Him. What are they for? If this is my mind about it, you don't have a problem that when the great multitude of the saints, you may say, "The brother offended me and it was too much me to forgive." And the Lord will say to some poor old saint, "Stand up and give your testimony." And they'll give an overwhelming testimony of how they were martyred to death or pulled to pieces or done wrong and loved all the way through it by the grace of God. Because our God's real. And He wants us not to forget. In our time, in 2019 and beyond, Christianity's under attack. And for the most part, I'm ashamed to say, it deserves it. Not the truth, Christianity, but the falseness of Christianity has been its own downfall. But God wants a true testimony from true believers of a real life in God, that God is able to take us through. So let us remember. Let us remember. Another scripture that I want to look at, over in Numbers, we'll look at this one, 15th chapter of Numbers, 37th verse. It said, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, and bid them that they make them fringes in their borders of their garments throughout their generations. And they put upon the fringes of the borders a ribbon of blue. And it shall be unto you for a fringe, that ye may look upon it and remember." They had this thing, they used to do this thing about if you had something you wanted to remember, you tie a string around your finger. if you're likely to forget, you give yourself some reminder. There are some things that's so important we can't afford to forget, and yet in our humanity, we'll forget. And I'll give you a story and tell you what they say is the solution to this story. There was a woman that had a little girl, a very small little child, and it was normal that her husband dropped this child off at the daycare where this child would be took care of. This particular day, the woman went to work. She was to drop her off, but it wasn't the normal routine that she had. And so she took the child, and when she got to work, the child was asleep in the car seat in the back, and she forgot. She wasn't a malicious woman. She definitely loved the little girl. But she forgot probably the most important thing that was in her own life. She forgot her little girl in the car seat. Very hot that day. She just gets out and locks it, and that was what she did. And the little girl died. Later they called and asked, why didn't she come daycare? And the woman calls her husband, I believe the story was, and said, they said she didn't come to daycare. What's the story? And said, well, honey, you had her today. And then all of a sudden, the reality of what I forgot hit her so strongly that I remember, oh no! At the end of the day, oh no! The child, her little girl's dead, suffocated in the heat. In the back of that, it's not, you can't forget that. But yet, in our humanity, in the business, in life, in the way things are, we forget important things sometimes. And especially when it's out of routine or something happens that's not usual. So what they said to do, and they promote this a lot, if you're in that situation or ever could be in that situation, they said that a woman should always have it herself to put the purse in the car seat. Always put the purse in the back in the car seat. Every day when she gets out, it's a little more cumbersome. She's got to get out and get in the back and get her purse. But she will never leave her little girl in there. You set the safeguards that makes you to have to do that. They said another thing that they do, people will actually do this. They will have a teddy bear that they take to work to them. If they have a child, they have a teddy bear that they make sure that they take to work and set on their desk every day. And they would take it and they put it in the car seat every day, buckle it in and take it to work and take the butt out and do it. And why do they do it? Because of this story. That's why they do it. If they got a child, they're going to say, I'm faulty. My mind isn't good. I do things that I by habits. And I might mess up. And the Lord wants us to love Him enough. He wants us to love Him enough that this is important for me to remember. So if I can't, and you can't, put fringes on your garments. And because it's going to force you to say to your children, why do we put fringes on our garments? And they're going to rehearse the commandments of the Lord to themselves. They're going to tell it to their children. This is why we do it. So that we can remember. Always remember. There is one passage that says, and there's other reasons for it, but that the Sabbath day was for this purpose. It was set for this purpose so that the children would ask of their fathers, why ain't we working today? And that they would recount to them, son, we were slaves in the land of Egypt. We were in bondage to another people. And God delivered us out. And now as a memorial for all generations, we take this day in honor to God and for the fact that He delivered us and for His creation. It's a memorial for God. We need to make memorials in our own life. Tell our children your salvation story. I was an undone, wicked, unsatisfied person, and God saved me from that. I don't want to give it up. It's important to me, and I want it to be important to everybody. Why do you do what you do and no answer for it? There's an answer for it. There really is an answer for what we do. And he taught them, put fringes on your garments throughout the generations so that you will not forget. What's the fringes for? We remember the commandments of the Lord. And he gave that to them lest they forget. And you know they did anyway. But God was doing everything he could to keep them. Keep this thing going. The memorial. We've had faithful people, haven't we? In our heritage, we've had faithful people. I like to recount Brother Sammons. Most everybody down here, Brother Sammons was important down here. But everybody knew Brother. Old rough talking Brother Sammons, you know. Old preaching Brother Sammons. We all knew Brother Sammons. Brother Sammons has grandchildren, great-grandchildren down here. You know what? Ain't nothing wrong at all with having some of them memories. Remembering some of them messages. Remember some of them victories that he told. Folks, it won't give you a victory. I'm not saying that it's all there is to have some hero of faith. No, but it's to remember that God is not a respecter of persons. If God done it for Paul, and he done it for Peter, and he done it for D.S. Warner and B.E. Warren, and he done it for Brother Sammons and Brother Forbes, then he'll do it for me. The same victory he gave them over smoking, drinking, carousing, the same victory he gave them over their own flesh and self, he'll do it for you. The same victory they had, you can have. God's no different, lest we forget that God was worked in our lives and done things for us and set examples for us in our lives. Brother Sammons was a devoted man. I've seen it myself. Had the privilege of my early ministry was to travel around at the meetings with Brother Sammons. I value that. I value being in the same camp meeting with him over and over in the first few years of my ministry. He wasn't really one that came and gave advice and all that kind of stuff, but he lived a life that was full of it. Lest we forget. Oh, I'm going to tell you, Brother Sammons would come to our house sometimes and it seemed like the devil and the darkness and the gloom was all the way. That man could come in with a power of spirit and with a fervent prayer. Brother Sammons come one time, I remember him saying, well, he said, let's have prayer before we have prayer. He got down and just started praying. He wasn't praying for healing, wasn't praying for healing, he just started praying. And when he got through praying, I don't know that he needed to pray after he got through praying. He prayed such a faith in us and such a the room lit up that drove the devil away and drove away, and I was just kind of rejoicing. And then he said, now let's offer prayer. And the Lord touched. And I knew the Lord was going to do it. It was already pre-done. Is there anything wrong with remembering? You think that was Brother Sammons? I say it was the God of Brother Sammons. Brother Sammons was a man. With all the frailties and faults of a man. We have our place, we had Brother Jim. Brother Jim was such an example and a great friend of mine. And you know, Brother Jim come down here, and most of you knew him from going up there, coming down here. But he was a sound man that loved the Lord with all of his heart. He wasn't perfect as a human being, but he loved the Lord, and the Lord worked in his life, and he was a magnet. A people magnet. People responded to him. He could talk to people. He was so winning with them. He met people that we had no idea about. And when he got down sick and people started and died, people come out of the world, and people we never even met started coming out and said, I met him on the train and I heard he was sick and all these things. And grown men of the world weeped at it because he touched their lives. But it wasn't just him. God had took an old guy that went to war at 22 years old and hardened himself. He testified to me that he said when I got home, he said I looked at my wife that I hadn't seen in a couple years and a child that I think he only seen once. And he said, I looked at them without any human emotions at all. He had hardened him so much. Seeing bombs blow up and see your friends blow up and in the horses of war, you can't stop and cry and let it out. You harden yourself and you're a man doing it. But you don't. When you come home, you're still a hardened man. You don't turn a switch. He told me, he said, I would way rather have been over. I wasn't comfortable there. I would way rather be over with the other veterans that come home over at the tavern because that's where I can relate. I couldn't relate to anything else. And the Lord came along and started convicting him. And he saw himself as the dirty sinner that he was. And he turned to the Lord. And the Lord changed him. Touched his heart and made him one of the most sensitive, gentle people I ever saw. I couldn't even hardly believe the stories that was told about him. Totally altered the man. But it was God. And if we don't keep telling it, we're going to forget it. And if you don't, well, I don't know anybody like that. They're going to fade away. We need to tell our experiences. Hopefully, we've got the same experiences of a changed life. We need to have it amongst us all the time, a testimony of God's grace and His ability. Lest we forget what He's done over and over in my life. God has been faithful over and over. Times when I said I couldn't see through it hardly. I didn't know what the end of it was going to be. And it was scary. And I'll admit that I was fearful at times. And God was faithful. Over and over again, God showed His faithfulness. You probably already said it's the toughest time I ever went through in my life. My wife was dying and I knew it. Things was totally a wreck in my life. I didn't know what I was going to do. I didn't know what the future could hardly be. And I'm standing there at my wit's end emotionally, physically. I'm at my wit's end and I look up and I say to God, Lord, I'm at the end. I have come to the end. If You don't help me, I'm going to end. I can't go anymore. And that was the full honest heart that I poured out to God. Lord, I wasn't aiming on quitting. I'm just telling you, I felt like I couldn't take another emotional ride. I was done. And when I told the Lord that with all my heart, Lord, I'm done. It was like heaven opened up. And I felt God just go over me with a grace. An outstanding grace over my life and a power and strength. He never changed the circumstance. But He changed me to faith and believing in God and the ability that I knew from that point God was not going to forsake me. That He was going to be with me to do what I couldn't do for myself. Unless we forget that that's the God that we serve. You're not going to face anything that God can't handle. God was going to help you through everything you have to go through. It gets hard at times. Sometimes it's hard to speak of it. It's so hard. I can't imagine. It's been mentioned here. I can't imagine what Brother James and Sister Tricia must be going through. But I know this. We've got a God that always comes through. Always. That's bigger than me, folks. I can't already even endure the thoughts of it. But I know this. God opened heaven for me, and He can do it for them. He was willing to do it for me, and there was nothing special about me. So He'll do it for them. And if He'll do it for me, and He'll do it for them, He'll do it for you. Lest we forget that we're serving a God, that we can go through the troublesome times, the hard times of life, we can go through Him. If you're not serving Him, you're going to miss that. He's the one. Lest we forget who it's all about. Everything was created by God and therefore everything is God. There's nothing out of His control tonight. Everything was within God. All of it. Lord help us that we not forget our lives in God. that we can look and say, that's my God. That we can say to someone that's struggling, I've struggled too, and my God helped me. You're in that place. I was in that place. You're in a hard. I was in that hard time. Brother, this brother, that brother's there. God has always been true. I'll predict to you, He'll be true to you. It's not a hard prediction. He'll be true to you. Do what you need. Thank the Lord. I want to look at another scripture. Oh, let's see. Joshua 4. No, I'm sorry. I already related that. I want Ezra. The third chapter of Ezra. The 10th verse says, and when the builders laid the foundation of the temple of the Lord, that they set the priests in their apparel with trumpets, and the Levites, and the sons of Asaph, and the cymbals to praise the Lord after the ordinance of David, king of Israel. And they sang together by chorus in praising and giving thanks unto the Lord, because He is good, for His mercy endureth forever toward Israel. And all the people shouted with a great shout when they praised the Lord, because of the foundation of the house of the Lord was laid. But many of the priests and the Levites and chiefs of the fathers, who were ancient men, that had seen the first house, when the foundation of the house was laid before their eyes, wept with a loud voice, and many shouted aloud for joy. You see that scene? You see that? Do you see that scene? This is the kind of the way I think about it. Maybe I'm stretching this a long ways, but we kind of live in a very fleshly time. A lot of movement going on, a lot of devil trying to do a lot of things. Worshiping the Lord is not about the flesh. You can't worship the Lord with the flesh. Even though we're so connected to the flesh and we like the enjoyments, the thing of the flesh, but a lot of people do like the bombs and the bangs and the big drums and the bands and all of that. And they incorporate that in. They do all these kind of things. And it's kind of a situation that I think about like that. These ancient men knew what the old temple was. And when the new come in and the young ones are there shouting with this wonderful new idea, well, this was God. But the old ones wept. And the young ones shouted. Well, think about them old men remembering. Is this going to be the same quality? It can't be. Do you understand? It can't be. They don't have the ark anymore to put in it. The things that they brought, the budding rod, is gone. Those things that God had put there that the old ones held as sacred, valuable things that were in the temple was inseparable to them. They're gone. They're gone. The Ark of the Covenant, gone. They must have been thinking, then how? I have those kind of thoughts sometimes, folks, be honest with you. In my mind, sometimes I'll get these little daydreams of vision. Sometimes I'll get that sometimes and see us as a changed, worldly people that just worships like the world does with all the vims and bombs, without the covenant of God with us, without God's approval on us. Lord, help us, lest we forget what God is about, what God wants of our lives. It's holiness unto the Lord. And the banner over us is love. It's a way that God wants us to be. That we're willing to say, yes, Lord, that's what I want to be. There's things that change. We're in a very changing time. We're going to have to accept some of those changes as we go. It's foolish not to. We'll change as it goes. The things that happen all the time in there. But there's things that can't change. The way of the Lord won't change. The humility it takes will never change. The holiness will never change. The faithfulness of God, it will never change. There is things that God set as the way to God. It's through Christ. It will never change. Oh, there's a changing times of the way we may do certain things. We'd be wise to look at that and make the most out of it for gaining the souls of our time. But lest we forget, let us make our markers, our monuments, our fringes, if you will. Let's establish ourselves in the Lord so that we can say to the generations following, this is why we do that. We remember the blessings that fell on us. I'm not that of a nostalgia. Do you know you can get rid of a natural, like the campground, the Monarch Tabernacle? I know there has to be people here that's heart was hurt when the old tabernacle. We bond the things sometimes and memories in those kind of things, and people get a hold of that. And it's one of the changes that happens that we accept. And the other one's really nice. I love it. It's great. I felt the Lord there and thanked the Lord for it. I understand the nostalgia of the old. I don't think we ought to forget. I'm not so sure that we have to remember the actual structure that stood there. But I don't think we should ever forget how God met us. How God was real to us. The salvation that was brought there and the power of His... I don't think we should forget the experiences that many of our young people has ingrained within them forever, a way of life, because of a time and moment that God was willing to establish for us and meet us there. It was a monument in the hearts of many. I think we ought to remember that with our eye to the future, that the new place will make many more monuments. That there will be many places where God met me. Right there at that altar, or out there under that tree, or wherever it was. Do you remember the man in the Scriptures, who was it? Nathaniel, I think it was. And you remember the story? It's quite an interesting story to me because it's such a small passage. But they're going along and here comes one. They told him about Jesus and he was a kind of a doubting. And I understand him. I'm a very critical doubting person. I got to see how the things go. And he comes along and he says, Jesus speaks of him. Now there's Nathaniel. He's a true Israelite. One indeed. He's a real one. How do you know? I never met him. I never met you. How do you know that? And he mentions just a little place. He mentions something that's meaningful. Something that Nathaniel did not forget. Something happened under the fig tree. I don't know, but he mentioned something about, I was with you. Under the fig tree. My Lord. I'm going to tell you, something happened under that fig tree. Something needs to happen under your fig trees. Something needs to happen in our lives and it becomes a monument. The Lord made a place that I don't ever want to forget. He rode in my car with me. He visited me when the hardest time of my life, He secured me. He spoke peace to my soul when it was completely in an upheaval. I have monuments in my life. You want to hear something? Well, I'm going to tell you. One day, my little boy had got a splinter in his foot. You all have heard this many times, but it's my testimony. I don't want to remember. I don't want to forget the combination. He got a splinter in his foot, and he got his foot infected. It was kind of a blood poisoning running up his leg. Well, we had him prayed for just before that it came. He was swelling up, and he was having problems with it, but we had him. It was our camp meeting. We had him prayed for and got him home that night. He had fell asleep, got him home that night, and it was in his foot, the bottom of his foot, and the infection and the red lines was running up his legs and it became very, very fearful, very concerning situation. And his hands, he was just little, and his hands, you know how you take these surgical gloves and you blow them up Well, his hands looked like that except for they were turning beet red. His little hands was beet red and blown up like that. And I want to tell you, it was critical, at least in Daddy's mind. Critical. This is urgent. I've heard about this blood poisoning and stuff, and God, all my life we've dealt with those things. It's happened before, blisters and stuff. I remember at home, and we'd soak it and all this stuff. Well, this night, he was fevered and fitful, and I prayed and I prayed and I prayed, and he laid in bed, and I was on the floor by him, praying for him, and praying for him, and praying with anguish. I prayed until God spoke peace. Folks, I'm telling you, just the way it is. God spoke peace to my soul. There was a peace come over me. An overwhelming peace of God came over me in that moment. And I knew in my heart, my faith took it in, and I knew in my heart, God had touched him. And when that happened to me, he just quieted down. No more fitfulness. And he just quieted down and went to sleep and got up the next morning with his hands normal and the redness out of his legs. Thank God! I have a monument in my life, something that I want to keep turning and opening over and over and over. I want my son to know that God spared him as a little child with a great miracle that night. I want my family, I want you to know, God, that's real today, as he was to Paul, to those that believe in him. Lest we forget what God has done for us and is doing for us in our lives, Lord help us that we never forget this. The ones that were, the young ones that had never seen those things, shouted. Got something new going on. Got something valuable here. But when the old ones looked, they wept. Because they felt like they had lost something. But we have a greater promise, because we're promised that the new temple is going to be greater. It's far going to exceed the former one. The one, the kingdom, the temple that Jesus brings, the way that Jesus brings, is going to be far superior to the old way, the old temple. God was going to come in a magnificent way so that the new one was going to way outshine the old one. Lest we forget, God has done so many things for us. Yes, it's true, we're all going to leave this world at some time, but I'm going to tell you, we can go with the knowledge that we serve God, and God is always true, and thank the Lord for it. Oh, see, I think I got one other scripture. Psalms 78. Oh, I'll read a little bit of this. First verse. Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generations to come the praise of the Lord and His strength, His wonderful works that He hath done. For He established a testimony in Jacob, and appointed a law in Israel, which we commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children, the generations to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who shall arise and declare them to their children, that they might set their hope in God, and not forget the works of God, but keep His commandments, and might be as their fathers a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart aright, and whose spirit was not steadfast in God. The children of Ephraim, being armed and carrying bows, turned back in the day of battle. They kept not the covenant of God and refused to walk in His law, and forgot they forgot His works and His wonders that they had showed them. Well, that's a sad thing, ain't it? It's a very sad thing. We, by observation, have seen that if somebody turns away from the Lord, in one generation, the children know almost nothing about God. And in two generations, it's totally lost. Most of the time, there is nothing left. And many times, it may take on a religious thought or a religious way or some to that thing, but for the most part, it's completely gone. It's our duty in our time to carry our generation as faithfully as we know how to do, as faithfully as we can. And as part of that is to use the whole arsenal of what God has done for us. And the one thing He's definitely done for us is give us a heritage of things that we can remember, lest we forget. And turn away from the one that has done all of these things for us and make it not real anymore. Well, that was just of Brother Salmon's generation. Was it? Or can it come one more generation down? What they happened to them? Is God able to take care of us? Well, sure He is. Brother Gordon Humphrey, most everybody knew down here knew him too. He was a regular down here for a while. Brother Gordon told me a story one time. He said him and Sabella was driving home. They was coming from some camp meeting, and they was going home, and they didn't have any money, and they didn't have any much gas. And he said they was running out of gas. And they knew they didn't have enough gas in the car to get home. And they knew they didn't have no money to put gas in the car, so they was in a dilemma. And what would you do in a dilemma? Well, it wasn't the days of credit cards or instant monies and that kind of stuff or that. It was in the day that you had it or you didn't, and they's driving along and didn't. So Brother Gordon said they got so near to the house and the hen went so low that they didn't want to be out of gas. They had wanted a little bit in there. So they pulled over, and he finally tells his wife, "I'm going to go pray," he said. So he pulled over beside the road, and he said, "I got out of my car, and I went a little ways," and he said, "I went to get down to pray," and he said, "Brother Marty, there was a $20 bill laying there on the ground." And I said, "Really?" "Yes," he said, "there was a $20 bill." And he said, "I don't know how that got there." I said, "I don't know either." And he said, "I don't know if it blew out of a car, or I don't know if somebody was over there and it fell out of their pocket." And he said, "I don't know if the Lord just made it," but he said, "Brother Marty, I think that was the Lord." I said, patted him on the back and said, "Brother Gordon, I think it was too." Plain and simple, I think it was too. Do you think it was? I think it was the Lord. And why not? I guess the Lord knows how to do those kind of things. Thank you, Jesus, for doing such a thing as that. And lest we forget, God can take care of you. Lest we forget, there isn't anything in your life that He don't know about and that He doesn't care about. If God loved me enough to have His Son die for me, I suppose He has enough love for me to keep me going and to take care of the things in my life. I would have to believe that Jesus died for my salvation. He loves me enough to keep me. Of course He does, unless we forget about that. These people that He's talking about, what would you say? I know I've said it. "Well, if I'd have been one of them that seen the Red Sea split open, I'd never doubt the Lord." Well, they did. So I don't know if I would have or not. But I do know this. They forgot. They forgot what they had saw and what it meant. They also, I assume, saw the pillar of fire and the cloud, didn't they? I guess they saw that stuff. They saw the plagues on Egypt. They saw all that. They got delivered out. And it wasn't very long before they had a calf in the making a god. Wasn't long before the Lord's up there saying, "Can a bride forget her wedding dress?" That's pretty important. I would say, unless it was very severe situations, the answer is that no, you brides won't forget your wedding dress because it's just too important. God should be too important. This should be too important for us to get. So as we face life, this camp meeting will go on, but days will still be days, and we'll leave this meeting at some point and go on, and life will sure hit all of us hard probably again, and you'll go through things. Don't forget God. He wants to be in your daily life. He wants to walk to you. He wants to go down the halls of your job. He wants to be in your trial. He wants to be there in everything that you do, in your home, your family, your work situation. The Lord don't mind at all if you say in the middle of your work, I don't know how to do this. Lord, would you help me here? Lord, would you help me? Lest we forget that we have a friend that's sticking closer than a brother. And lest we forget that we have a brother to watch over us and help us through this. That we got a strong arm of God beside us. Let's not forget. Lord, help us. You pray for me. I want to be faithful.